So we've been looking this week at the book of John, John chapter 6, and the story begins in verse number 22. And what's taken place up to this point is we saw, as John chapter 6 started, we saw that great miracle where Jesus fed the 5,000, which means that was 5,000 men. So there was also whatever women and children were there. So we're talking of upwards between 15 and 20,000 people, 15 and 20,000 people that were fed by just a few loaves and fish. Something supernatural. And again, you have to remember that this is a time period where just living your life, you spent every day having to scratch out your existence, scratch out the food and water and the resources that you needed to survive as a family. So seeing 20,000, upwards of 20,000 people fed supernaturally by a few loaves and a few fishes, that got their attention. And it kept their attention. And then we see that right after that, still in chapter 6 of John, we see that that's when Jesus sent the disciples out on the water. He walked out on the water and met them halfway. And then the disciples and Jesus went to the shore on the other side, as Jesus had said previously. And then as we're getting to the part of the text that we've looked at the last couple of days, we see starting in verse number 22, that the people themselves, the people who had been a part of that experience, that supernatural feeding of the multitudes, well, the next day, they know that the disciples got in the boat to go to the other side. And they know that Jesus was not in the boat. But they couldn't find Jesus. And so they are going to Capernaum. They're looking all around. They can't find Jesus. They find him on the other shore, on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And when we say sea, picture this like it's a very large lake, very, very large lake. So they see Jesus, they find him on the other side, and they're surprised to find Jesus there. And they ask Jesus, what are you doing here? How did you get here? In verse number 25, they found him on the other side of the sea, and they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Now, they've been looking for him, and they didn't understand how he got there, because obviously they didn't know. You know, he walked on the water to get to the disciples, and then all 13 of them go to the other side. So they ask that question, how did you get here? But the underlying, Jesus knows the heart and the motivation, and he knows that the question, how do you get here? They're not really concerned about how he got there. What they really want to know, and the reason they've been following and looking for him this whole day, is because they want more of what they had yesterday. They want to know, how do we get this bread? You provided bread for all of us. How do we get this all the time? We want this all the time. Jesus knows that's what their question is. So when they ask him, how did you get here? Jesus answered and said, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. I don't know if we'll have time to get to it today, but I want you to notice here that in verse number 26, Jesus makes it clear in his response to the people who have come looking for him. He makes it clear that you have seen the signs. You saw the miracles. So they saw it. They experienced it. He reminds them of that. Now, he goes on to say, but you came because you ate the loaves and were filled. So in other words, he's saying you came because you want to find out how you can have this kind of food provided for you at all times. But then he goes on to say, do not labor for the foods which perish, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. He's saying rather than as we talked about yesterday, you're reaching for the low-hanging fruit, all right? There's even greater blessings as you climb upward. You're reaching for the lowest. Go for the, if you get the best, you get everything. If you reach for the highest, you get everything that includes from the highest down to the lowest. Why just be satisfied with the lowest? You just want bread to be provided for you, that you can have your food, that your body, your physical needs, your temporal needs will be met. But Jesus is saying you should be reaching for something higher. Reach to have those spiritual needs met. If you have the spiritual needs met, then everything else comes along with it. You just want the temporal needs. Seek the greater. Seek the spiritual needs. Seek spiritual fulfillment. Seek after me. Not just the food. Seek after me. Know me. Come into a relationship with me, and your spiritual needs are met. And as a byproduct of that, all these temporal needs that you're concerned about will be met also. Reach for the higher. This is the challenge that he's giving to them. And my question yesterday was, how many times do we come to Jesus and we're only seeking after those temporal things? They were only looking for the temporal needs. How many times, think about your conversations with Jesus. Think about your prayer time. How often is your prayer time the exact same? where you're seeking Jesus for those temporal things. He wants you to seek for the spiritual things. Seek for the higher things. Because as you obtain those higher things, those lower things that you're looking for will naturally be met just along the way, through that process. Think about your questions. Too often, our questions, our comments, our commentary, our conversation with Jesus, too often it matches these people who were seeking after him. Now, good for them that they were seeking after Jesus. They're making some serious efforts. They're spending their day seeking after him, going from Tiberias to Capernaum and now across the sea. Good for them. But rather than just seeking for the temporal, they should have been seeking for the spiritual. And the same thing is true for you and I. Rather than just seeking to have our needs met today, let's seek Jesus. Let's seek that deeper relationship. Let's seek that more personal relationship. Now, I started this conversation on Monday by looking at verse number 45. And verse number 45 says, I'm going to read this to you from the Amplified Bible. Verse number 45 says, and it is written in the book of the prophets, and they shall be taught of God, have him in person for their teacher. It is a fulfillment of prophecy that Jesus was there as God in the flesh teaching them. But it didn't end there. This is still a true statement, and this is being fulfilled even more so and in greater ways today, because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God himself, dwells in you. And it's the Holy Spirit that is teaching you the Word of God. So every time that we spend time in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is going, if I'm open, if I want it, if I'm ready to receive it, if I believe it, if I take time and stop and listen, if I seek after the deeper things, if I seek after the spiritual things, if I'm seeking after Jesus in a deeper relationship with him and expecting to have him teach me from the Word, he will teach you things you otherwise wouldn't have known. Revelatory things, supernatural things he will teach you that your mind could never comprehend or understand on its own. But he will show you and teach you, personally teach you. Personally, he will teach you those things. If, unlike the people that are here approaching Jesus, instead, we approach him seeking those higher things, seeking those greater things, seeking the spiritual things, not just seeking the temporal things. How often is our conversation with Jesus, our time with him, focused on the temporal and not the deeper things, the higher things, the spiritual things? This is what Jesus is telling them, and he's speaking those same words, challenging us with those same words to us today. Look, he's provided all the temporal things. See, whatever things that you would go to Jesus for, we're going to pray for you and your needs this morning. And whatever needs you have, whatever your prayer needs are, he's provided for all those temporal things. Whether it's for your healing, whether it's for food, whether it's for your finances, your job, your family, your emotions, addictions, depression, whatever your needs are, whatever your temporal needs are today, he's already provided for them. He's met them. He already has. He has. But you reach for the higher things. Rather than just seeking those things, seek him. Seek after him. Can you see the difference I'm talking about? Seek after the higher things. Seek after him. Seek after that deeper relationship with him. Then we see in verse 45, that truth comes to pass in our lives as we are taught by God himself, through the Spirit of God that is in us, taught the Word. So we get the deeper, we get all the spiritual promises, we get the eternity, we get the kingdom of God. And once you get that, then you can start seeing those promises of the kingdom of God start to manifest and become reality here in this natural world. In other words, your temporal needs are met. Jesus is showing them and showing us, here's the priorities. You're seeking after the wrong things. There are things I've already given for you, but seek the higher things, and these things come with it. In verse number 28, they said to him, well, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? So again, Jesus just said, do not labor for the food. He's saying, don't work, don't toil, don't labor for the food that perishes. Don't labor after the temporal things, the temporary things, the carnal things. Don't labor after those things, but rather for the food which endures to everlasting life. He's talking about he, the bread of life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal upon him. So he's telling them, reach for the higher things. Don't just search out after the temporal things. Don't just search and toil and work for the temporal things. Work for the deeper spiritual things. So then that elicits the next question, which is logical from the mind. Then they said to him, well, what shall we do? What's the work we should do? What shall we do? That we may work the works of God. So they want to know. So what is the work that we're supposed to do? What is the works that we're supposed to do? If we're not supposed to toil and work for the temporal things, then tell us, what is the work we're supposed to do? What should we do? Jesus tells, what should we do? What's the work? Now you say work, and a lot of people all of a sudden just get real nervous. Well, we're grace. We're not works. Absolutely true. That is true. We're saved by God's grace. It's not our works. Our works are nothing but rags, filthy rags, in fact. And yet here's Jesus saying, do the work. Don't do the work for the temporal. Do the work for the spiritual. And so we ask ourselves, what is the work to do? That's what the minds of the flesh say. That's what these men said. And here's Jesus' answer. Here's the work that we do. Listen to this. Verse number 29. John 6, 29. Jesus replied, this is the work. This is the work of God. That you believe in him and whom he sent. That's the work we have. That's the work we have to do. That's the only work we have to worry about. You're trying to fulfill every law. You're trying to do everything exactly right. Your efforts, good though they might be, to reach out, to feed the poor, to do all the things that we know that we should do. Your works don't accomplish anything. Here's the only work that Jesus said that we should do. Let me read it to you in the Amplified Bible. Jesus replied, this is the work, service. How do we serve God? How do you serve God today? You know, this is one of the phrases that we toss around an awful lot. We are servants of Jesus Christ. We are his servants. How do we serve him? If we were servants, how do we serve him? Jesus replied, this is the work, the service that God asks of you. What's the work? What's the service that God asks of you? That you believe in the one whom he sent. That you cleave to, trust, rely on, and have faith in his messenger. So I'm going to read to you again from the New King James and then again from the Amplified Bible. Because this is the work that we're told to do. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe. Here's your service to God. You believe. Believe the word of God. That's this word. That's Jesus. Believe the word of God and in whom he sent. That means we believe everything that Jesus said. If Jesus said it, if it's in here, if it's in the word, this Bible, Old Testament and New, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is Jesus revealing himself to you. Believe it. That's your work. Believe in Jesus and what he did and believe in him. Believe in all these things that he said. Now let's read that again. We'll close with this. Again, this is verse 29 from John chapter 6, but I'm reading to you from the Amplified Bible. Jesus replied, this is the work, service, that God asks of you. Here's what he asks of you today, that you believe. Do you believe the word of God? Do you believe Jesus? That you believe in the one whom he has sent, Jesus. Here's your service today. Here's how you work and serve him today. You want to be a servant of Jesus Christ today? You want to do the work that he's told you to do, the only work he's told you to do? Here you go. That you cleave to, trust, rely on, and have faith in the messenger. It's Jesus Christ.